We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
We are breaking down all aspects of Yankee baseball. This is the Bronx Pinstripe Show with your host, Andrew Rotondi and Scott Reinen. Let's go.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Bronx Pinstripe Show, the podcast talking about your last place New York Yankees. Today, we're brought to you by Shady Rays. Maybe you want to shade your eyes from the atrocity that was the New York Yankees over the weekend. There's no better company to do that with than Shady Rays. They're giving our listeners an amazing deal right now. Get a pair for yourself by going to ShadyRays.com and use promo code Bronx for 50% off two or more pairs of polarized sunglasses. I'll tell you more about Shady Rays later on in the episode. Scott, hi. That sucked.
Do the Yankees have a money-back policy, money-back guarantee? Because if they did, I would appreciate the amount of just to bill them for my time at this point, because it's egregious. It's been really bad to watch. This team that's trotting out there is not the team that we expected to be out there at all. And there's a lot of things that go into this. For whatever reason, they're not getting on base. They're not hitting well. Now they're not pitching well, which has been, you know, one of the mainstays. They've been pitching well for the most part with guys that are unnamed. Even the bullpen's been very good, and now we're just on full meltdown mode in last place, as you mentioned at the top of the show.
Well, they're not trotting out a Major League Baseball team. They're missing their entire starting outfield. Mm-hmm. They're missing their number two and number three pitchers. They're missing a couple of key guys out of the bullpen. When you look up and down the nine starting lineup, there's on any given day, seven out of the nine, essentially like either rookies or not Major League Baseball players. So I'm not giving them a pass. That's not what I'm saying. Like, the team shouldn't be in last place for a while. For the first 2 weeks of the season, they were playing very well, but it's hard to sit here and analyze things from over the weekend. It's like Nestor Cortes got crushed yesterday. That's something we can analyze, because like you're hoping Nestor Cortes can somehow salvage that series. Garrett Cole has been amazing all season. He's been their best player, and they've won every single game that he's pitched. But what are we going to sit here and analyze? Oh, Clark Schmidt. Like, no, Clark Schmidt needs to be sent to the minors. Like, that's one thing.
I got some things to say about him, but you're right, because the overanalyzation of this team is just
silly.
It doesn't do anything. There are some clear numbers that we can look at and identify why this team isn't scoring runs, but you also have to get now back to the reason is why are the stats the way that they are? Right. And why are the stats the way, why are their total bases per game so goddamn low? And is it because they're trotting out a, you know, half of a major league? Is it because the guys are not performing? Is it because they are not keeping up with the way that the league is right now with, you know, getting more runners on base and flooding the base paths? Because you're seeing a lot of the teams at the top of those lists that are having success and you know, spraying the ball all over the place. Have they not made the adjustment fast enough? Is the personnel not available to make this adjustment? You know, there's a lot of things that we can talk about as to why the numbers are the way that they are. But a big piece of that, which kind of stunts the conversation a lot of times, is that the players are not out there. The players that we expected are not out there. And what, of course, you get piss poor numbers when you are trotting out the likes of Willie Calhoun and Franchy Cordero and, you know, Aaron these guys Hicks. that are going out there. It's not their fault. They could be playing better, but they weren't supposed to be contributors on this team.
Right. Right. Yeah. You pulled the numbers. The Yankees this year ranked 25th in Major League Baseball with 12.21 runners per game. The only teams that rank below them, Cincinnati, Washington, Cleveland, Detroit, Kansas City, all teams. Well, Cleveland, obviously.
It's total bases, not runners, total bases.
Total bases, sorry.
Yep. So included in there are home runs and other things. You know, we're looking for a stat that it's hard to find, honestly, that said, I want to know how many runners the Yankees have had in scoring position, not how many they've left in scoring position, but how many have they had in scoring position compared to the rest of the league. And, you know, this is eye test versus nerd test. My eye test is telling me that they haven't had a lot. And when they have had them, yeah, they're not really, you know, getting to a high percentage for driving these runs in. You look at, you know, people will shit all over some of the standard statistics, but when you're 3-4 guy have 14-9 runs batted in, and you're looking at Garcia on the Rangers, and you know there's two or three other guys on that team who have knocked in over 20 runs. That's an availability statistic. That's a statistic that is more of a telling, you know, macro version of what's going on with your team. That means people are on base. That means people are available to be hit in. So I do take stock in that number, because now I'm looking at Rizzo, who's probably had our most consistent offensive performance, has 9 runs batted in the 4 spot. And he's consistently been in that 3-4 spot.
Yeah.
9 runs batted in on the year. That's crazy.
For a month. Yeah.
The league leaders are in the high 20s.
That's like a 50-something RBI pace for the year for your number 3 or number 4 hitter.
Right.
First baseman.
So yeah. there's something that statistic is showing me, and that one, guys are not on base. Two, you know, we're not executing with guys on base. But again, those percentages are much smaller at this point.
Where are they now in runs scored? Because when we looked, I think it was last episode or maybe the episode before, they were in the bottom 10 spots in the league in total runs scored. They ranked like 21st or 22nd. I'd have to imagine at this point they're closer to the bottom. I mean, whatever. Again, they're 23rd in runs scored. Again,
that's average runs per game. Yeah. So yeah, not total, but average. They're at the bottom. Like all offensive categories, you're going
to
see.
No matter how you want to split this, what you're looking at, we got to talk about Judge, obviously. But until Judge is back in the lineup, Stanton's back in the lineup, Bader's hopefully returning. Until all of these players are back, it's not going to get better. You cannot expect a lineup that features Oswald Peraza, Oswaldo Cabrera, Willie Calhoun, Higgy, IKF, Aaron Hicks, Franchy Cordero. You can't expect that lineup to score runs. Those are not starting Major League Baseball players. You can have one or two of them in your lineup. That's how it was designed. Not the majority of the lineup is featured with quad A players or rookies trying to figure out the major leagues, or journeymen who are trying to hang on to a major league roster.
The other problem with this is when you are filling in the lineup card with guys that you just named, the guys that are major league players who are sprinkled in now, because the top of the lineup is different without Judge and Stanton, obviously it's very different. And when you look at the guys like Rizzo or LeMahieu or even Glaber, if you want to put them in this category, the amount of quality pitches that they're going to get is going to be lower and lower and lower, because there's no reason to pitch to those guys. You as a pitcher, I'm executing my plan. I'm throwing my pitches. And if I get the guy out, I get the guy out. If I don't, then fine. I'll just attack the next guy who I know I can get out. And it's a, it's a dream. I was kind of joking, but not really. But DeGrom, when he was going in the first couple innings, I'm like, oh my God, here comes a no hitter. It's happening. This guy, if you were to stay healthy, I think that the base hit that was gotten off of him was on the pitch that he got pulled from the game, and he had elbow discomfort, which that guy can't stay healthy. Thank God we didn't give him a contract. But the, you're just looking up and down, like, this is just set up for a pitcher who knows how to pitch and can execute his game plan.
Nathan Eovaldi.
Rifle through this lineup.
Nathan Eovaldi. Just complete game shutout. I know the Yankees have hit. So I was looking up Nathan Eovaldi's career splits versus the Yankees, and I was disappointed. I don't know if that's the right word. His ERA is like in the mid threes career against the Yankees. I don't believe that, because I don't remember a single start in which the Yankees have hit Nathan Eovaldi. Logan pointed out there was one of them, I guess, when he was with the Red Sox towards the end, where they could have had a tip on him and they scored a bunch of runs.
Other than 2021.
Other than that, he completely dominates the Yankees lineup, no matter who is in there. And the players change, no matter who is in that lineup. When he sees the Yankees on the other side of the field, he's freaking dominating.
Yeah, he's just proving my narrative. That's all he's doing at this point. He's a good pitcher, and the Yankees fucked it all up with him. They had a power pitcher. Someone brought up, like, what have the Yankees done after they've been Yankees? So, the folks that have left for free agency or just, not been re-signed or traded, whatever. The trades actually haven't been. Jorge Mateo is the one guy I think that they've traded away that we're looking at, like, damn, that was a guy which we – when he was in the low areas of the minor leagues, we all were excited about him because there weren't very many prospects. But for the most part, the trades haven't been there. Some of the free agent guys that have either left or they just have chosen to not re-sign, a lot of them have done well.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's like, you're going to blame the coaches? What are you going to blame there?
Yeah, I don't know. Probably. Some part of it, the coaches. Some part of it, not identifying talent on the GM side as well, and not sticking with someone who should be doing something better, analyzing the numbers to make somebody better instead of just making them fit your system and what you want to do, actually looking at the player and identifying them on a player-to-player basis. I feel like sometimes there's too many generalities with the way that they approach analytics, and they use blanket approaches rather than using a more individualistic approach to get the most out of a player. I don't know. I'm looking for things to complain about at this point, because there's nothing on the field that's showing me anything on the coaching side, on the GM side, by picking up players and, making a good roster. None of that is happening right now. None of that is in front of my face. So I'm going to nitpick on every single little possible thing, because
that's fair.
The product is dog shit right now.
Yeah, that's fair.
Dog shit.
Yeah. And with Judge out, we're recording this Monday morning. We don't have an update any further on Judge, if he's going on the IL or whatever. I expect him to go on the IL. I don't know about you.
I hope not. Because if it's just a bruise and he just has to wait it out, and because it very well, the way he slid was awkward as hell. And if it's the hip, it's probably just a bruise. It's probably just he did land really weird. He flopped around like a fish on dry land. And it was strange looking. So, when a big guy falls like that and hits his hip bone, which can stick out, and he certainly didn't have a soft landing, it's probably just a bruise. And if it's just a bruise, then no, he should not be on the IL. We need him back badly.
Were you happy or a little nervous that it was actually his hip and not his hand that had him pulled out of Thursday game? Because that was surprising, right? Like, you're expecting it's going to be the hand when you see him taken out of the game, and then boom, it's the hip. Like, no mention of the hip up until then.
Yeah, that's why I think it's a bruise. That's why I think the hip, especially if it happened on that play, there wasn't a lot of things that you could, there wasn't a ton of like hyperextension or, overexertion on a swing per se, but he did land very strange in multiple places because he did kind of a flop and hit twice. He was like doing the worm over there. And yeah, so I'm happy that it's the hip if it's a bruise.
Well, so yeah, because like it's not like the common hip injury is what, hip flexor?
That's hip flexor.
That's the common hip injury that'll sideline a guy for a while. Like, I don't think.
And that could be because those are connected, like your hip and your groin and your abdomen, like all that. If it's an injury that's in your core and it's a hyperextension of some sort or a tear, then they're going to take a very long time to come back. And you can't really rehab it in a way. You can't rehab in a way where you're continuing baseball activities. Like, you have to stop swinging at that point. Probably have to stop throwing hard at that point. you know, all the rotation that comes in your core as a baseball player is it's, you know, essential to everything you do. So that leads you into a longer recovery, a longer rehab, probably a slower start coming back, because now your mechanics have to, you know, be fine tuned again. If it's a bruise, then, you know, it's a pain tolerance thing and a matter of just letting that bruise heal.
So some of the reports are downplaying it, like, oh, it's going to be out a couple days. They're going to wait on a decision for the IL, but Judge isn't even worried about it. And then Bob Klapisch, which I don't know if he's just doing this to get clicks or whatever he's doing. He's just a fear monger. But he reported for NJ.com.
I've never had a problem with Klapisch usually.
Exactly. But he wrote on Friday morning on NJ.com that the Judge told teammates that he's worried about his hip. The Yankees are privately freaking out.
Well, I would be too, because if you're talking to some people in the Yankees, they're freaking out, because if he is down for an extended period of time, this team is in serious trouble.
Yeah, because they don't have an outfield. Yeah, their entire starting outfield is out.
So they're freaking out in the sense that they're hoping it's a bruise, probably, and it's a contusion, and that it just needs to heal. Sometimes you can get one of those deep contusions that's just like a bone bruise.
Ooh, a deep contusion.
Deep contusion. Yeah. You've heard the bone bruise.
I know. Yeah, what's the difference between a contusion and a bruise?
There isn't one. That a contusion is a bruise.
So it's just, contusion is like a medical term that sounds worse than a bruise.
That's what we call it in the industry.
You call it a bruise. You're in the industry. Got it.
Correct. Yes.
Well, that brings us to our next topic. We're going to talk about some of the things from this weekend, but that brings us to our next topic. But before that, the Yankees are going back home. I was looking on Game Time this morning just for fun. You can get into the stadium for $3. You're probably going to be sitting like nosebleeds away, but you might not want to see the game anyway. If you just want to go to the game, have a couple beers, have some chicken bucket, whatever you want, you can get in for
You're not
cheap.
Sitting in nosebleeds. They can just standing room. Just go in, get those tickets and hover.
Game Time is the fastest growing ticket app for a reason. The app has a ton of cool features and is easy to use. It shows you the trend in tickets, what sections the best deals are in. It calls out the cheapest options, which, as I said, $3 gets you in, and flash deals and so much more, so you can make an informed purchase. There's even event cancellation protection, so you can buy with confidence. Hey, the Yankees might not be giving money back, but if the game gets canceled for whatever reason, you can get your money back through Game Time. Some of the reasons why I love using Game Time: you get images of your seats before you buy, so you know exactly what to expect. The buying process is super fast. It's just two taps and you are done. And the tickets get sent directly to your phone, so you don't have to go through your emails to try and dig them out and find them. Snag tickets today without stress with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code Bronx for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, download the app, create an account, use code Bronx for $20 off your first purchase. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. And with that $20 off, you could literally go for free. They'll pay you. They'll pay you to go to the game. Let's talk about if the Yankees should act quickly on the trade market for an outfielder. So Jeff Passan reported that the Cardinals, who are desperately looking for starting pitching depth, and they have a sort of an abundance of, yeah, no, who isn't, an abundance of outfielders, that they could be on the trade block early. And Tyler O'Neill's name has come up a bunch. The only problem with this is the Yankees don't have starting pitching.
The only problem with this?
To trade. Yeah. But the article on SI.com that I pulled did mention Luis Severino. So, you know, there's that.
Okay. The one hope we have of coming back and pitching, well, that makes no sense. Yes, they have more outfielders. So on the surface, you're looking at, you know, major league players that they have and can and cannot play, and they're struggling right now. The Cardinals are not the same situation as the Yankees. The Cardinals actually have a decent roster. They have some young guys that can play well. They have two of the best hitters in baseball. They're not a bad team. They're playing badly right now. They're going to be.
Well, so
better.
What do you call? So what's the Yankees? It. The Yankees are just
the Yankees
injured,
are a bad.
Are they a bad team?
They're a bad right now. They're a bad team. Yeah, because there's no hope on the horizon for who's coming back. This is something that we've discussed on the offensive side. There's not a lot of saviors coming back right now. Stanton out for an extended period of time. Bader is going to be coming back. The third
base struggling in his rehab. 3 for 21 in his rehab.
Yeah, but that's fine. It's just give me some at bats. Get go through the motions.
Like, I think Jeff Nelson said this on the broadcast, that it's like if he's healthy enough, just get him to the majors. Who cares if he struggles? Because like, what what is the alternative that we're trotting out?
No, it's true. Level? You might as well just rehab at the major league level when we're putting out the guys here. There's no better alternative. And yeah, so it's different. It's just different. And no, there's no starting pitching depth to trade for said outfielder, because that's also a thin area on the Yankees, given circumstances and given performances that are happening. And there's nobody in AAA that anybody wants. So, what are we doing?
Yeah. So you mentioned guys leaving the Yankees and suddenly performing. Jordan Montgomery having a good year. He's made six starts.
We expected
35
that.
Innings.
He was not bad when he was with the Yankees. This is what he does. He's a mid three ERA guy. He's going to go out there and pitch.
Was
well.
He a mid three ERA guy with the Yankees? Because his career ERA with the Yankees is 3.94.
Okay. So it's, for the most part, I see him as a 3.5 guy. He's a 3.4 in a rotation. And he's a nice piece. And
he's been durable, too.
He gets innings. Yeah.
He has the most batters faced. So I don't know necessarily that means he's durable, because he's not leading an innings pitch. So that just could mean he has a lot of base runners. But most batters faced in the league. That's a bolded column on his Baseball Reference page.
When you're looking at what the Yankees need right now, they need a miracle. I'm not joking. They need a miracle in for something to open up that will actually improve this team, because there's not an obvious piece right now. If you told me that they were going to go get an outfielder, I'd be like, awesome, that's cool. Is this outfield, what are we giving up, first of all? And two, like, is he a good enough outfielder to make a difference on this team right now?
You're going to have to trade prospects, because you don't have pieces on the major league level that are expendable to go trade for someone like Tyler O'Neill. And the Cardinals are looking to add to their major league roster. So right. I don't see a trade partner. Like, would I like Tyler O'Neill? Of course. Like, he's got a lot to like about him. But I don't see that as a realistic trade partner for the Yankees. I don't know who a realistic trade partner would be. I don't know what teams on May 1st are just like, yeah, let's start trading our outfield depth away, right? It's like, it's really hard to make an acquisition in May.
Unless there's a dollar amount that you're eating, and this is where I go back to, like, again, if it's not Chris Bryant, it's something like that, where the Yankees can pay for somebody. That's what's going to have to happen. They're going to have to pay for someone. They're going to have to eat a contract that someone else doesn't want for the next 3 years, and they're going to have to pay for someone. Chris Bryant is the guy. It's the guy. It makes the most sense. You can offload, you give them something for it, you give them a little bit of hope, sprinkle in some prospects, and pay for the contract and put them out in either left field and or third base, depending on where he can play, and you land him there. And now immediately your offensive is upgraded.
Do we know, does Chris Bryant have a no trade clause? Does he have anything in his contract about not being traded to the Yankees? Because the Yankees are generally
Rizzo make a phone call.
If that's true, if a player has a no trade clause, like, the Yankees are usually in it for some reason.
You think Chris Bryant doesn't want to get the hell out of Colorado to go to the New York Yankees?
I don't know.
Why did he sign
in Colorado to begin with?
Because they gave him the most money.
Okay, but maybe he just likes. Maybe he likes that thin air. Gets him a little lightheaded. He just chills. He's on a last place team. Why does he want to go to another last place team with more pressure?
Well, there you go. You come over and be a savior. Whereas out there, you're in the abyss.
Okay, fine. So Chris Bryant,
Dairy Queen commercial, which I was very surprised about, but yeah. So he's making some endorsement dollars.
He can do some local New York commercials. He can do some dealer, some Bronx Mercedes dealership. He can take over
Jaguar. Boys. Yeah, Jaguar of Northern New Jersey. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
I like it. Fine.
Ramsey Toyota. I hear that.
Bring it in.
A lot.
So he's more of a Toyota guy.
Yeah. So no, because Toyota's a durable cars. Like he is a Jaguar.
Right. They're expensive to fix.
expensive breakdown a lot.
Although everything is expensive to fix now because it's all electronic.
Okay. So are you trading some decent, because it's going to take some decent prospects. They're not just going to give you Chris Bryant.
You're paying the dollars.
You're saving them from a dollar. But they're not. But looking that's to save money. They just signed that contract. They're not looking to save
before.
That money. I know they've
Nolan
done it before.
Nolan Arenado, they look, real quick. They have, the Yankees are in a situation right now where their prospects are not good enough. The two guys that you can trade right now are Peraza and Dominguez. Yes. Those are the two guys that you can trade for something decent, and then you sprinkle in other things. But if you're absolving them of this contract that's 3 to 4 years multiple millions of dollars, like $20, $25 million, I think a year or something like that. You're giving them financial relief and some hope. You're not really giving them top end prospects for a guy like that, unless there's another guy in that deal that has major league caliber. You know, maybe there's an arm in there that you're doing, and now you're really going after this and next season.
I'm looking at the Yankees top 10 pipeline right now. Austin Wells probably has some value. Spencer Jones and Everson Pereira are two outfielders in the top five. Trey Sweeney, shortstop prospect. I know people were excited about him in the low minors, and hopefully Volpe's there for a long time. So you don't necessarily, you kind of have depth at shortstop prospects. I don't know. There's tradable guys there. If you're eating the Chris Bryant money.
There's two headliners and then there's other guys. Yes.
Yes, but you're not trading a headliner and then taking Chris Bryant's money. So you're trading someone like Spencer Jones and eating the
first
money.
Round pick from what, last year? So it's not like that's not nothing at all. That's significant. There are two options right now when you're looking at the trade market, and maybe there's a mixture of both, but you're looking for teams that are in over their head with contracts and would love some type of a buyout. That's one area. And then you're filtering down to, you know, below top 10 in your organization, probably as far as prospects. And you're looking for some
you're
projects.
You're giving them lottery tickets, you know, some low level pitching depth that, who knows what they'll become.
Or you're looking at another opportunity where maybe there's a team that knows they can't compete this year, but they're closer and they feel like they're closer, where they can give you something that's at the major league level, but you have to give up something very substantial on a minor league, you know, something that's much closer to a sure thing than a low A guy. Because then you're trading prospects for major league players at that point. So yeah, there's two options you can go after, but the more realistic one, I think, is looking at some of these bad, not, I'm not saying they're bad contracts, but they're contracts that don't fit what an organization's plan is or what their roster currently is.
We're going to talk about the weekend. I also have an interesting article about guys increasing their pace of pitching that we're going to talk about. But first, I want to tell you guys a little bit more about Shady Rays. Kick off summer with new eyewear built to last. Our friends at Shady Rays have you covered with premium polarized sunglasses that are just as good as any expensive pair you can buy. They are lightweight and durable, which is an amazing combination. The company has the most insane protection in all of eyewear. If you lose or break your pair, even on day one, they're going to send you a new pair, no questions asked. And if you're a Shady Rays customer, you can look good and feel good. To date, they have donated over 20 million meals to fight hunger with Feeding America. Shady Rays make a great gift as well. We've got Mother's Day right around the corner, Father's Day coming up. Maybe you're celebrating a birthday soon. Scott, we've each got some birthdays coming up. Maybe we can just buy each other some Shady Rays. How about that? Shady Rays is giving their best deal to our listeners. Go to ShadyRays.com, use promo code Bronx for 50% off two or more pairs of polarized sunglasses. Check them out. We know you're going to love them. Thank you, Shady Rays, for sponsoring our show. All right, the weekend.
Before we get into the weekend, can I complain about you for a minute?
About me.
He said, yeah, before he could do it. Okay, people think we sound alike. Some people have said, you know, at a distance we look alike, which I don't see. But now you have a new setup. Okay. You have a new setup in the back, and
you like the BP crew towel.
Yeah, no,
I framed it.
I like it.
Come on,
that's cool. No, it looks great.
And I got old school Yankee Stadium opening day, April 1923.
Looks great. Looks great. For some reason, you've identically mimicked my background.
That's almost, not true.
Almost to the exact same specifications of the actual prints in the back. I mean, it's identical. And can you do me a favor?
It's two pictures. It's two pictures.
That's right. Can you do me
a favor? How else are you going to hang two pictures in back of you? I'm going to get more pictures. Listen to what I did this weekend.
I'm going to have to change my background now because of you. Hold on a second. I'm not finished complaining. Can you please raise your coffee mug? Please.
It's a Yeti coffee.
Are you
mug. Who would have thought someone has a Yeti
color,
coffee?
It's
mug.
The same color. It's the same thing.
How long have you had that one?
For a while.
Yeah, me too. A while.
Yeah.
You've got Heart Strong on it. I don't have anything engraved on it.
It's ridiculous. I don't know. I don't know what's happening here. But yeah, it's.
Why don't you shave your beard?
Completely morphed.
I actually trimmed it pretty tight. Yeah, I grew a beard
before
you, so you shave.
That's just not true.
That's true. Go look back at some old episodes, okay? I started growing the beard
I want to say 2017. You were clean shaven 2017.
No, I was. Yeah. I was experimenting.
Yeah,
your next beard doesn't count. All right, let's talk about the weekend. I gotta change all my shit up now.
Change it up. I don't give a shit. So the Thursday game, we already talked about Judge getting pulled, but Cole was solid again. The Yankees have won every single start that he's made. So where this team would be without Garrett Cole is scary to think about. He allowed the 2 runs in the 6th inning, single walk to start the inning, but he, that's when he was pulled, but,
and he would have been out of it. He knows what he so got over to first late.
I want to talk about that play. He did get over to first base late. And what I liked about it is he immediately gave like the fist pump to Volpe on like, no, that was a good throw. That was on me. Yeah. Because you could see how pissed he was.
Yeah. He was pissed at himself.
But like, I just appreciated, like, I thought that was a good, I don't know. Garrett Cole's growing on me. I gotta be honest. Garrett Cole's been growing. Maybe it's because everyone else is sucking around him. And it's like, oh, I appreciate someone who's just consistent.
Yeah.
But I feel like he had, that was like a good leadership moment because
yeah, instant accountability.
Instant accountability. That's a good word for it.
Yeah. And he did. You're right. You could tell he said it all. He wore it all over his face. Like he knew, you could tell that he knew that he didn't get over. It was very obvious, but that he didn't get over. And that would have been a double play. It would have been bang, bang, but it would have been most likely a double play if he's at that bag. But yeah. But that, yeah, he pitched really well again. Like the guy's been unbelievably consistent. Unbelievably strong, and you're right. If he's not starting the season off the way he is, and being the rock that this team needs, like we're in big trouble.
And King shut the game down from there. He closed it out 2 2/3 innings. So they're clearly just using King for that extended outing, and then giving him rest there and out, which I don't hate.
It wasn't on the back of a Clark Schmidt start, so there you go.
No, because I think what they realized is, why are we going to waste one of our best bullpen arms on a game that we're going to lose anyway because Clark Schmidt is pitching?
Yeah, well, that was pretty clear on the last start, too. So, yeah, there's no reason for that.
You got to get Clark Schmidt out of the rotation. And the natural question is, who are you going to replace him with? I don't care. Because at this point, it's clear he can't get hitters out consistently at the major league level. Send him to Scranton, have him work on something, and hopefully he can come back and be more consistent. But I don't care who you call up, seriously. He has been one of the worst starting pitchers in baseball. On Friday in Texas, he allowed 5 runs in 5 innings. 10 hits, 5 of them extra base hits. He did strike out 8, so I guess if you're looking for a silver lining, it's like, okay, he did get some swings and misses. He struck out 8. But he just looked so incredibly defeated after every hit that he gave up. His ERA is now 6.84 for the season, and I was looking up minimum 20 innings pitched. He is the 11th worst starting pitcher in baseball. So there's actually 10 worst starting pitchers in baseball ahead of him. Luis Sessa, by the way, former Yankee, and Ken Waldichuk, both on this list, have been worse than Clark Schmidt this year. But man, you have to pull him. You cannot keep sending him out there. I understand other guys are struggling. Brito's not great. We saw Nestor Cortes get hit around. But it's an auto L when you send Clark Schmidt to the mound. And right now, you have to make a change, even if it's you don't have someone great to come up for him.
I mean, there's really not anybody to come up for him.
I don't care. At this point. I don't care.
So it's a very unfortunate situation. One thing that I was watching, very closely for Schmidt this last time out, and you know, I had noticed it before, but I was watching every pitch, watching every place where Higgy was setting up. This man is missing his location on almost every pitch. It's wildly inconsistent with actually hitting the glove. Even on some of these strikeouts, you're seeing a lot of the hard hit balls just completely missed, trailing over the plate. Higgy's lining up on one side of the plate, the ball's trailing all the way across to the other. He's not hitting any of his spots. When you can't execute a game plan as devised by the battery, then what are you supposed to do? I mean, Higgy at that point, whoever's calling pitches, it almost doesn't matter if you can't execute and have enough accuracy. It's not just the cutter. It's not just the two seamer or sinker, whatever the fuck you want to call it. It's not the knuckle curve. It's all of the pitches. He's not hitting his spots. When you can't hit your spots, then you can't look at this and try to improve a game plan because you're not executing the game plan that's in front of you.
You can't execute the pitch that is being called. And that is a massive, massive problem. That is a very, very big tell that says you're not a major league quality. If you can't control the pitch to the point where you're not able to throw a strike or throw a ball where your catcher is asking you for it on a consistent basis, you are not a major league pitcher. You are not a major league pitcher. And that's what I'm seeing. I'm seeing a guy that is just wildly inconsistent. And I don't know if it's because if the mechanics are all over the place and he's doing that annoying.
That's why I say you have to send him down. He's also doing
that annoying stutter step.
I mentioned that early in the season that his windup looks too complicated.
It's just like he's doing this pat thing on this front foot. Like, dude, just simple. Get rid of all this nonsense, these stupid timing mechanisms, and just simplify everything. Slow it down, calm it down, and actually throw the spots. But he's not executing his pitches. And like, it starts there. It starts there. If you can't execute your pitches, then there's not much else to analyze because you're not doing the thing you're supposed to do.
Which is why I say you have to pull him from the rotation and hopefully he can figure something out in the minors for the next month.
I guess. I mean, again, like,
because the alternative is you send someone out there and you lose, but that's what you're doing with Clark Schmidt. So wouldn't you rather try and get Clark Schmidt on the right path?
I mean, where are the best pitching coaches in the Yankees organization? Are they not in the major leagues?
But figuring stuff out at the major league level, especially where he's been so demoralized, like he probably came into this season understanding this is my shot and he's failing miserably. It's hard to really make adjustments and figure stuff out at the major league level when you are failing that badly. So go to Scranton. There's no pressure. Scott's going to watch it just to spite me. Yeah. And you can figure something out.
Well, I mean, hopefully. I think there is still a good amount of pressure on him because they need him. They need him to right the ship. So, you know, people are going to be watching. Okay, well, how's he doing? And then he comes back up. If he's not mentally ready to pitch in the major leagues, that's one thing. I don't think him going back to Scranton and you know, getting his psyche in the right place is going to help matters because then he's going to come back up and what? Buckle under the pressure again, if that's what's happening. The guy needs mechanically, I think is where we're at a bad problem. I think mechanically he's not being consistent. And you see that with the way that he's being inconsistent where the ball is ending up. And a lot of that is most likely from mechanics, which should be able to be fixed if that's the case. And to me, when I'm looking, where's the best coaching staff that the Yankees have to offer? It better goddamn be in the major leagues.
How do you know?
Maybe it better be in the major leagues.
Maybe it's not.
So, you know, there's nobody down there that's even pitching well for him to come up right now. It really isn't. So, but he needs to fix it.
He's losing you games every time he goes out.
There's no glaring hope from someone else that's coming up.
This is not a move to get some spark from the minors. I understand no matter who they call up is going to stink, but Clark Schmidt stinks. So I want Clark Schmidt to be better. And my solution is send him to the minors, pull him from the rotation and try and change it. They're probably going to just wait until Luis Severino comes back. Okay. End of the month, they said, right, for Severino, and end of May. So we've got minimum three more Clark Schmidt starts. They're going to lose all three of those games. He's going to pitch between 3 and 5 innings, and he's going to give up 5 or 6 runs, and he's going to look awful doing it, and I'm going to sit here every time and tell you he needs to be pulled from the rotation.
All right, guys, we have had six games started in AAA right now. Caleb Buschley, 21 innings pitched, 24 hits. Chichi Gonzalez, 33 Chichi. Innings pitched, 41 hits given up. I'm looking at guys. I'm just looking for, you know, under a hit per inning is what I'm looking for.
Well, you're not going to find it.
Brennan Hanafy, 24 innings pitched, 27 hits given up. Jonathan Heasley, 31 innings pitch, 41 hits given up, 31 runs given up, 31 earned runs given up. Not good. Casey Lawrence, 27 innings pitched, 32 hits given up. Matthew Liberator, 33 innings pitched, 25 hits given up, 8 earned runs given up, 1.1 whip. Here we go. A little 2.12 ERA, average against. there's our hope. Maybe we're going there.
What if they just do a bullpen day for Clark Schmidt and just try and get him a start or two in the minors? Go with some bullpen.
Ryan Weber, we've seen 19 times come up and back. 27 innings pitched, 34 hits given up, 1.45 whip. Cool whip.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
So you don't like my idea of...
I don't like any of the ideas. Not that your idea is a bad idea. There's no good idea, unfortunately, for you know, relief. In the rotation right now, unless guys are coming back. You know who the answer is? Luis Severino, Carlos Rodon. Those are the answers to Carlos Schmidt.
Well, Carlos Rodon is 2 months away. He's expected back at some point middle to late June. So we're like 6 weeks away.
Well, I'm just telling you that's the answer to those. So they need to figure it out until then. Severino's there, but yeah, Ryan Weber, I mean, they're looking at get someone that's got some hope and bring him up. It doesn't matter.
So you just want to keep banging your head against the wall with Clark Schmidt and hope that he figures something out.
No, fine. If you want to bring up another guy so we can bang our head against the wall and then hate him, okay.
On Saturday, Brito, three nice defensive plays in the first three innings kind of made his start look better than it was.
Yeah.
That first inning Bauer's play sliding into the wall, that looked really scary at first, but I think because he got up and walked off, he's going to be okay. But at first I'm like, oh God, did he just completely shred his knee sliding into that wall? But that was a great catch.
Yep. Dustin looks like Fowler, he is going, flashbacks.
Yep. He's going to avoid the IL. Volpe threw out the runner at home, which I thought was a nice play. Bang, bang decision that he had to make a good.
Sort also of, a similar situation to Fowler to the point that he didn't get it in at bat. Right. So right. you got like a field of dream situation happening.
That... Who is that player that Moonlight Graham? Right,
yeah,
the Moonlight Graham thing, yeah. And then Hicks made a leaping play in left center field, and I love how like Yes is hype. Can't you feel Yes pumping up Aaron Hicks? Like, oh, he's had some good at bats.
Aaron Hicks, there's nothing else. You gotta, and also
a word from above, like, hey guys, we were told that Aaron Hicks isn't going anywhere, so we got to say some nice things about him.
Well, I think Rucco and Hicks also have an off-field relationship potentially.
Yeah. Great. Yeah.
We'll hype up your boy. I mean, yeah. He did hit the ball hard a couple of times. Even going back to Saturday, he hit the ball hard. So, you know, if we're looking for positives.
That's a big positive.
Aaron Hicks hitting the ball hard.
Yeah. So, we already talked about the Eovaldi complete game shutout. But it was an ugly situation on Saturday night, texting with my dad as Eovaldi was just shoving the bats down the Yankees' throat.
Yeah, I mean, he's a good pitcher. And the Yankees lineup is
the Yankees make bad. Him look like an elite pitcher. And I understand he's had elite moments as a pitcher, but he's not an elite pitcher.
Okay. He's a good pitcher.
Okay.
We're going to do top five performances of the month. So something we're going to do at the end of each month is look back. Last year, we did the top five games of the month. This year, we're going to do top five performances, and we're going to pick a winner, and we'll sort of carry those through each month of the season. So we've got a handful of ones to go through here. Number one, to lead it off, Garrett Cole's complete game shutout against Minnesota with 10 strikeouts. That was probably going to be the winner of best performance of April. But he's certainly been the best player in April, but that was also a great performance. We've got Volpe with the two-run home run in the eighth inning against Toronto. I know the Yankees subsequently blew that lead, but they did win the game. That was the DJ LeMahieu walk-off. Mm-hmm. Domingo Germán had that no-hit bid against the Twins as well. Struck out 11 in 6 1/3 innings, probably the best start of his career, if I had to guess. We've got Judge's opening day home run, which I know it's just like, it's one, I think it was a solo shot, like one solo shot. But like just the fact that it was the first swing of the season for him, coming off the offseason with the contract and coming off the 62 homer season last year, like that was a really cool moment. Yeah. And then he also had a two homer game against Baltimore in a win. What's your pick? It's got to be Garrett Cole, but do you want to highlight any of the
other
ones?
It's Garrett Cole, but yeah, I'm going to give an honorable mention as well for the back-to-back with Volpe in his first home run and then Judge, you know, getting right behind him to kind of bring it
in.
They
did lose that game, though.
That's fine. We're looking at moments, right? Performances in the moments. I mean, look, this the month has not gone to plan, so we're looking for performances underneath a team that's not playing well. But yeah, Garrett Cole. I'm giving it to Garrett Cole because he deserves it for this month. Overall, he's been the guy that has really been the savior for this team in the month, and you know the reason why they're still hovering above 500 at this point, even though they are swimming in last place. He's the guy, and that's the performance, I think.
You know what I was going to look up? I meant to look this up. I wanted
and
to
complete
see...
game. Like, give me a complete game all day long. I will applaud complete games as much.
I wanted to look up where Garrett Cole ranked in innings pitched in the league. Cause he's gotta be up there, right? He is number one, 40 2/3 innings. Yeah. I was going to guess. Framber Valdez is number two, Kevin Gausman, number three, but, Garrett Cole, number one in innings pitched as well, which I just feel like something like that, especially for this team right now, is so underrated. Like, yes, he's pitching well, which is obviously great, but the fact that he has the most innings pitched in the American League is also key.
Yeah. Durability and just getting out there and giving, because that means no one else is pitching and Garrett Cole is, and he's pitching well. So that's a good thing.
And then they've got Cleveland coming up. As I said, you can go to one of the games against the Guardians for basically $0 using Game Time app. We've got Herman versus Cal Quantrill, Garrett Cole versus Tanner Beebe. So this guy, Beebe, is that how you say it? Beebe? They've got a Bieber and a Beebe. Come on, guys. He's a rookie making his second start.
Great. A guy that the Yankees haven't seen before. That's always gone well. When they see a guy for the first time.
Yeah, but Garrett Cole's pitching, so the Yankees can't.
That's true. That's great. And then we got Clark Schmidt on the Wednesday evening game as well, right? So you left that one out. Hopefully that someone's going to change and we're going to get someone else up there. We'll see.
It's going to be a TBD. Let's just go with TBD instead of Clark Schmidt.
Yankees got to be really careful in the next 3 weeks. 2 to 3 weeks here, because Cleveland is no slouch. We know that they're going to pitch well. They're going to hit well. You're not going to score a ton of runs, but neither are the Yankees. They're going to have timely hitting. They're going to run the bases. They're going to take advantage of everything they can, but they're going to pitch well, most likely. And then they got Tampa for three, Oakland for three at home, and then Tampa for four at home again. So Tampa twice in the next week and a half, which is which could be bad. Could be real bad when we're trotting out this same lineup. And could really put them in a bad position. And you know damn well that Tampa's looking at that, looking to pile on as much as humanly possible. Oh, and then they go to Toronto for four games after that. So the month of May is looking very tough given the roster that they're trotting out. Because after that, I'll keep going, because then you have Baltimore at home. And Baltimore, by the way, ahead of schedule. This is what I was afraid of. Ahead of schedule, they got a guy like Adley Rutschman, who's just running the show down there, getting the best of everybody, and they have a ton of talent. Jorge Mateo playing like the best shortstop in the league right now. Like, the guy is hitting for power, hitting for average, running with speed on the base pass, stealing bags. He's doing everything. And then you have San Diego on that home strand, and then you go all the way out to the West Coast for Seattle and the Dodgers. So there's no
now you're up. Going into June, right? Like at that point,
but you're Seattle at the end of May. Seattle at the very end of May. So this month is going to be grueling with the competition that's in front of them, and their roster. So they need some kind of a.
Mateo has 1,000 OPS. What is going
on?
Dude,
he had a good year
last year. I know he was playing well, but he is not a power hitter. How does he have 1,000 OPS?
He's hitting for power.
Wow.
He's not a small guy. Like the guy, he came up with power. He told, man, that one, that's definitely one that got away. But if you're looking at trades, that's the
Sonny Gray trade. They traded him in 2017, and it took until 2022.
Anybody could have had him.
This is not – I don't even blame Brian Cashman for that one. It took 6 years after they traded – 5 years after they traded him. Okay, now he's having a good season. Like,
Yeah, I understand.
He's going to hang on to him for 5 years?
He's definitely taken a lot longer to develop.
Last thing I want to talk about. So there was a really interesting article on – I think it was MLB.com. Talking about just pitchers who have increased their tempo this season, obviously due to the pitch clock, but they highlighted Shohei Ohtani, but I wanted to use that as a jump off point for some of the Yankees. So basically they looked at what Shohei Ohtani was doing this year. And there was a quote that he said in spring training that he said he felt rushed, but he said, oh, the pitch clock may be rushing things. But what he's done actually is he has changed from throwing mostly fastballs to his fastball is now a career low usage at 24%. And he's using his slider at a career high usage at 49%. And what the article sort of basically theorized is that in order to accommodate for the quicker pace of pitching, he's using more off-speed stuff, which is obviously less strenuous to throw. Pitches below 85 miles an hour for him. Last year, only 25% of the time. This year, 46% of the time. And it's working because he's obviously pitching well. But I wanted to look at what...
Why are we saying it's less strenuous to throw a breaking ball than it is a fastball? I don't believe that. There's actually more torque on your body if you're throwing something that's off speed rather than... You're still throwing your mechanics and the way that your motion is going. It's still at the same exertion.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's... I don't think that's a thing. I think he's making adjustments to the league. I think he's making adjustments to the hitters that are making adjustments to him. It's a, you know, with him, he's executing well.
For the past, you know, 4 or 5 years, one of the reasons why the game slowed down so much is because pitchers were resting longer in between pitches so they could throw max effort every single pitch. They basically, teams figured out, we'd rather have you throw 85 pitches at 100% effort than 110 pitches at 85% effort.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm sure there's some tweaking to the way he's going, but you still exertion on a slider. You know, it's the way that you're holding the ball.
Yeah.
It needs to look like your fastball. If you're doing things in your exertion level, that will be a tell and the batters will see that. So.
Well, I wanted to look at if Yankees are also increasing their tempo. And Gerrit Cole last year with the bases empty, 17.6 seconds. This year, 14.2 seconds. So that's a big jump. And then runners on last year, 23.2 seconds. This year, 18.6 seconds. Nestor Cortes has increased his bases empty tempo by 2 seconds and increased his runners on tempo by 3 seconds, about 3.5 seconds. Versus last year. And then if we're just looking at the overall tempo for pitchers, we've got Nestor Cortes leading with 13 seconds, Domingo Germán a little over 13 seconds. So we're seeing an impact in the Yankees pitching staff as well. These numbers were pulled. I think I pulled these numbers on Friday. So some things could have changed over the weekend.
It's a direct reflection of the pitch clock.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And guys just making over adjustments to make sure that they're ahead. Because, you know, the other thing is that, I mean, Nestor always has worked fast. Herman's relatively worked fast, I think, too. But the, you know, you don't want to get, they're probably overcorrecting just so that you can make sure you have a comfort level with it rather than going up against the clock every single time. You want to get into the habit of being underneath that pitch clock so that you don't feel rushed. And I think that's, you know, they're probably making sure that they're getting to their start point much sooner so that they can get to the comfort level of executing their mechanics at a point where they don't feel rushed.
We'll see how durability later in the season is a factor. April. Obviously, also the weather has been pretty, you know, not hot in April. I wonder if pitchers are going to slow it down a little bit, June, July, August.
Fatigue.
From fatigue, and also, like, if you're pitching on a 97-degree humid day, you might slow it down.
Yeah, well, you can only do so much. I mean, it's not like they can – not going to be – it's still going to be lower. Their tempo is going to be faster still from last year. All the numbers will be faster.
Yeah. All right, anything else you want to touch on before we wrap up?
Figure it out. Figure it out. Figure it out. Seriously, figure it out. That's it. I don't know what else to tell you. Figure it out. Get healthy. Stop getting injured.
Yeah, that's how they're going to figure out.
Get play better.
Talk to you guys.
Hey guys, thanks for listening to the Bronx Pinstripe Show. Make sure you find us on iTunes and subscribe so you can get all new episodes directly onto your phone. If you do like the show, we'd love for you to take a minute and give us a 5-star rating and review in iTunes. It really helps us out and allows us to create more shows. We're on Twitter at Bronx Pinstripes and the same on Facebook. You can always find us there talking Yankee baseball. Thanks again, guys, for your support. Really appreciate it. And go Yankees.